take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 15. And you might as well put a bookmark in here because we're going to be in John 15 for a while. We're going to be examining this passage for the next few weeks as we prepare our hearts for the journey of spiritual renewal. So this morning we're going to read John chapter 15, the first 11 verses. So follow along with me as we read from God's Word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, but you're probably the same as I in my daily life. I use all kind of products that have been around for decades. The names are familiar. Tide, Downy, Crest, MasterCard, Buick. Familiar names. The thing is, though, if you look at their marketing, they rarely tout how old they are, that they've been around for a long time. Each and every one of them is fresh, right? Or all new, which is an interesting turn of phrase, right? How can something be old new? It's all new, it says. And they're always changing something so they can be all new. There's an easy pour lid now, right? There's a new formula. In fact, it's hard to just buy Tide detergent anymore. There's ultra-high efficiency Tide. There's Tide Turbo Clean. There's Tide Free and Gentle. And my favorite one, just because of the words that they just threw together, Tide Simply Clean and Fresh Refreshing Breeze. It's not just complicatedly clean, it's simply clean. It's not just a refreshing breeze, it's a fresh refreshing breeze. New formulas, new containers, new caps. Car manufacturers come out with a new version of the same old models year after year after year, not just to differentiate the model years, but to avoid the appearance of staleness, keep people from thinking that it's just the same old, because that's the death knell, right? Same old, we never say that in a positive way. Everything's got to be new, everything's got to be all new, it's got to be bold, it's got to be innovative. Anything but the same old. I've been going to the YMCA pretty consistently for about 18 years, and every January things get crowded at the Y, you know. Get new people, new joining, new faces, New Year's resolutions to lose weight and get into shape, and all the regulars have been around for a while. All know that we need to put up with this for about 6 weeks, you know. Right about now is when things start to thin back out and get back to normal. You don't see the new faces quite as much anymore. It's just the same old people day after day, week after week. There'll be a few new faces that will become the same old faces, and they're always welcome. We just always wish that there were more of them. See, in a society that celebrates whatever's new or next, the word same routine can have a negative connotation. Sameness can be seen as stagnant or stubborn or scared. But in any area of life, what ultimately leads to change, to real change, to lasting change and improvement, is not flitting from one new thing to another, but rather consistency in doing the same old thing over and over and over. See, most of us don't need a new diet. We just need consistency in healthy eating, right? Most of us don't need a new exercise machine. We just need consistency in using the same exercise machine that has currently got clothes hanging all over it down in the basement, right? If you want to learn a musical instrument, you don't necessarily need a new method book or new video series to teach you what you is. What you need is consistency in doing the fundamentals. But if you want to be good at anything, you have to be comfortable doing the same old thing all the time. And the same is true in the spiritual life. The key to lasting spiritual renewal is not necessarily in starting something new, but in the consistency and committing to a sacred consistency. A consistency in practices that aren't new. They're old. In fact, they're ancient, but they're ancient because they have proven the test of time. So before we gather around the Lord's table and share this with one another, I want to share a few principles that I want to highlight this morning. The first is, if you resist the monotonous, you'll miss the miraculous. In John 15:1, Jesus says, "I'm the true vine, and the Father is the vine grower." We're told in this passage that you can't grow without being connected to Christ, who's our source. And allowing God to prune, clean, to make room for growth in our lives. This is the power of same. Committing to the process of staying close to God and allowing Him to shape us as we grow and change over time. And this monotonous process can seem unappealing. But it's the only way to truly experience the miraculous change that God wants to do in our lives. And when Joshua was told to take the city of Jericho, he obeyed God's commands to march his people around the walled city 7 times. For 7 straight days, they were to walk around the city. Now, it's significant to note that in Scripture, the number 6 tends to be representative of the incomplete efforts of man, of humans. But the number 7 indicates the perfect completion of God. So if Joshua would have resisted this monotony, another day of just walking around the city, he would have missed the miracle of what happened on that day of completion, on that 7th day when the walls fell down. Many of the things that happen in our lives and in successful people's lives that we oftentimes attribute to luck or happenstance are actually the result of a monotonous commitment to the same thing. A monotonous commitment to practice. So if you want to meet your physical goals, you can't avoid the monotony of consistent diet and exercise. And if you want to learn a musical instrument, you can't avoid the monotony of practicing regularly. And if you want to grow spiritually, you can't avoid the monotony of consistent Bible reading and study and consistent prayer and worship and consistent times of silence and quiet reflection, even consistent times of periods of fasting. These are the practices that Christians have used consistently over thousands of years to both endure the spiritual deserts that come into all of our lives, but also to enter into those times when they come out of the desert and into the promised land, the time of spiritual renewal. So don't avoid the monotonous, because it's the path to the miraculous. And then repeat the right things until the routine becomes the reward. John 15:2, Jesus says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. And this is an important principle for us to understand, because there's usually just a few things in our lives that we do that bear fruit. And those are the things that we need to concentrate on. The rest we need to eliminate if possible, or minimize at the very least. See, on any grapevine, there are branches that don't bear, that bear a lot of fruit, and there are some that don't bear a lot of fruit. And the ones that don't bear much fruit are still sucking resources out of the roots. They're still taking up nutrient from the soil and still taking up water. Still taking in sunshine, but they don't produce much fruit. And so the vine dresser knows that it's better to cut those branches off and use them for firewood to heat a home or to cook with than to keep feeding them. Better. To allow as much resources as possible, as much water and nutrients and sunshine to go to the branches that actually bear fruit. Now, here's a really important point about this. When the vine dresser is doing this, when he's in the process of looking at the branches and examining which are fruitful and which need to be pruned a little bit and which need to be cut off completely, he has to concentrate on the task at hand. He can't be worried about the wine that he may make further down the road. He has to concentrate on the little task at hand. And when you've got a lot of vines of grapes, that's a long, monotonous process. When I was little and my parents made me take piano lessons, it was not a voluntary exercise on my part. But my parents made me take piano, and I was not very good, and part of that is because I didn't practice right. I practiced all wrong. See, I concerned myself with learning songs. And so, when I would practice, the entire song. I would start at the beginning, and I would try to play all the way to the end, and then I would start over again, and I'd play it again. And it would be slow, and it would be halting, and there would be many mistakes, and I'd have to go back and try to play it right. But the goal was to get to the end of the song, because that's the goal, right? To learn the song. Drove my mom crazy hearing the same slow, stinking song and the same mistakes at the same places. Now when I learn a song on the guitar, particularly like a fingerstyle thing, it's all melody, no singing, I don't ever think about learning the entire song. I don't think about the song at all. I start at the beginning with the very first phrase. And I start slow and I learn that phrase. I learn it to the point where I no longer think about it. It's as if my fingers have a mind of their own. They just do it. And then when the fingers have gotten to that point, I learn the next phrase. I just go over it until, once again, my mind's no longer having to think about it. My fingers are just doing it, and then I learn the next phrase. And you do that over and over and over enough, and you know what? After a while, you've learned a song. After a while, you've learned a song. But here's the thing. There's a magical moment when I'm trying to learn a phrase, when all of a sudden my fingers just start doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's as if they're not even attached to me, and I'm observing them. And not only are they playing the right notes, but they're playing them in the right way. There's a feel to it. I don't know how else to describe that. If you're a musician, you know what I'm talking about. It's just a feel, and it's a really cool feeling. And once you've had that, it's like, oh, I want to do that again. And so when you move to the next phrase, you're looking for that magical moment. And oftentimes it only comes You know, it only takes like 10 or 15 minutes before that magical moment just kind of happens. And so you get that kind of positive reinforcement. And pretty soon, you're, like I said, not only are you not worrying about learning the song, all you're learning, all you're looking for is to hit that magical moment again. And you do that often enough, and after a while, you've learned the song. When I was writing my doctoral dissertation, there was never a day I worried about writing a dissertation. I never sat down at my computer and said, I'm going to write a dissertation. In fact, I never sat down at my computer and said, I'm going to write a chapter. It was always little segments, you know? There's one little thing I was trying to say. Maybe I'd go do a little bit of research on that and then pull up some note cards and arrange them a little bit. And then I would concentrate on writing that section until it said what I wanted it to say. And then I moved on to another section. It might not have been in the same, it might not have been the next section. Oftentimes it was, but sometimes I'd move on to a whole nother chapter, a whole nother topic, and I'd work on that section. But that's how the chapters got, you did enough sections and pretty soon you had a chapter. Did enough chapters and after a while I had a dissertation. But the point is that I learned to make the routine, the reward, the little moments of magic when it all just comes together, whether it be notes or words. When you learn to make find the reward in the routine, then later on you'll reap even larger rewards. And then finally this morning, you'll never arrive if you can't abide. In verse 3, Jesus said, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And this is the essence of the change that we really are looking for. Changes in, you know, physical health or changes in learning how to play an instrument is one thing, but spiritual development, spiritual renewal is something much more important. It undergirds all of that. And that cannot happen unless we learn to abide in Christ. We'll not arrive at our spiritual quest, our spiritual goals, unless we're able to abide in the one who is responsible for creating and changing and blessing and transforming us day by day by day. Key to spiritual renewal, to remain with and abide in God day after day after day. He is the power of same. He is the one who never changes. He is consistent, always there, always loving, always receiving. And it is Him that we abide. Before we move to the Lord's table, I want to challenge you this morning, over the next few weeks, to incorporate the power of saying in your life. And here's one thing that I would like for us all to do together. For the rest of this month, between now and the end of our journey of spiritual renewal, literally on the last day of the month, on the 28th, I want us to commit with one another that we'll read John 15. We'll read this chapter every day. It won't take you very long. If it takes you 5 minutes if you move your lips, right? So you can do this. But let's every day, let's abide in this passage of Scripture. Let's incorporate the monotony of reading the same thing until we no longer have to think about it. Our fingers just know what to do. And that magical moment happens when we know what it means to abide in Christ. We gather around the Lord's Supper, and this is one of those ancient practices that we do with one another. This is literally 2,000 years that Christians have been doing this. And some churches do it every week, and some churches like us do it on the first Sunday of the month. And so that means that on the first Sunday of a month like this, we join with pretty much all of Christendom. And all of us do this together in one form or another. We take bread and we take the cup, and we do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ. This can be routine. It can be monotonous. But I want to encourage you today to not let it be so. To find the power of the miraculous in the monotonous as we gather around the Lord's table and we share this time with one another.